Hey everybody, welcome to My Worst Day. I'm Cassie, and today we are very excited to share this bonus drop from our friends Katie and Nathan. If you've been listening to us for a while, you know that Queen's Podcast is one of our bestie pods, and they do such an amazing job covering stories from royalty, and we just really wanted to share this Princess Olga of Kiev story with you guys. You may remember this name. Keegan covered this in one of our Tainted Loves in episode 128. And they do such an amazing job. And we just really hope that you enjoy this deeper dive into one of the most memorable stories that we have ever encountered. So enjoy. We love you so much. Cheers.
Hi, this is Katie.
And this is Nathan.
And you're listening to Queen's Podcast, the show about badass women in history. Hello, Nathan.
Hey, Katie.
So, who are we talking about today, Nathan?
Ooh, girl, we talking about that bad bitch, Olga of Kiev.
Nathan, what are we drinking for Olga of Kiev?
So, today, this drink is called the Saint. Mm-hmm. And after we get done with this story, you're going to be like, how the fuck is this bitch a saint?
But she is.
She is. So, what it is just vodka, little bit of... Okay, I was supposed to get Saint Germain, which is why they come up with the Saint.
The Saint.
And Saint Germain's like $40.
Ew.
And I was like, I'm going to get the cheap knockoff brand, which is probably why this tastes a little funny.
I mean, it tastes fine to me. What else is in it?
Lime, and then you put club soda in it as well.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, it tastes fine to me.
Okay, it's a little like, I don't know, it's Saint Germain is like elderberry.
Elderberry.
Yeah, I know, it makes you sound fancy.
Fancy.
But anyway.
So, anyway, so who is Olga? Why is she, like, why are we talking about her today?
Olga was the first female Russian ruler, and like I was saying earlier, she became a saint.
Also, Bish was brutal.
That's an understatement.
Yeah. So, Olga was born in Pskov. Is that how you say that?
Skov.
So, she was from Pskov.
Skov.
In this research, really struggled with trying to figure out when she would have been born.
There was no way.
The median reported date of birth is in the year 890. But that doesn't jive with me because she had her first, like, her child in the 940s.
So she would have been 50?
And that's considered a geriatric pregnancy now.
Yeah.
And this time, like, people died in the 50s.
I read a lot, and we'll talk about her marriage later on, but I think that's where I get confused, is it's like she gets married at a certain time. I'm like, how old was she when she was married?
Okay, so as we've touched on in many episodes, they just didn't document when girls were born, because they were like, why would that ever be important? When would anybody ever need to know this? So history's a bag of dicks, and we don't know when she was born, and we'll try not to get hung up on her age too much.
And nothing is really known about her childhood at the time. We don't really know who her parents were. She was obviously born in Pskov and probably raised there.
Which is kind of close to, like, Estonia.
Yeah. And it's thought that her heritage was probably from the Vikings. And Olga is derived from the name Helga.
And Helga's a Norse name.
And some people believed her dad was actually this other guy named Oleg.
He was basically the founder of Kiev, and he definitely, this Oleg guy, if he wasn't her father, he was definitely somebody important in her life, because mm-hmm. he arranged her marriage.
So was her name from the Viking word Helga? Was she named Oleg after her dad? Either way, I'm not getting in a bar fight with a bitch named Olga.
Oh, no. Mm-mm. No. There's no surviving contemporary descriptions of what she looked like. I mean, there's lots of paintings and stuff on her, but they're all completely creative licensed. Mm. Later day, people would say what her son looked like, and her son was blonde with blue eyes, a white guy. I think it would be safe to assume that she was fair-skinned and blonde and blue eyes.
Yeah, and this area is what we would consider the Caucasian... Caucasus.
Okay.
Try to say that fucking 10 times fast. Okay.
Caucasus.
That's where Caucasian comes from.
Yeah.
So blonde hair, blue eyes.
And also if they were Vikings.
Yeah. And that's kind of exactly where we're coming from. So in or around about 903, maybe 912, there's a gap there.
Yeah.
She was married to Igor, who was the heir to Kiev.
Mm-hmm.
Not too shabby.
Yep. He's not like a nice ruler. Like nobody's like, oh, cool. Igor is coming to visit. Everyone's like, oh, fuck, Igor's coming. Though, I mean, there's nothing to suggest they didn't have a happy marriage.
No. I think she had a pretty fiery passion for him.
And I think he probably had the same for her. Yeah, but he was a really heavy-handed ruler. And they had at least one child.
His name was Sviatoslav.
I'm going to let you say that name.
Okay, I am totally an expert in Russian because I sang a Russian song one time in choir.
Cool.
I got an award for it. So cool. I'm obviously an expert.
So I think it's totally plausible that they probably had more children than just this one son.
Probably a lot of some daughters, but they obviously don't get documented.
Yeah. Or maybe they had, you know, miscarriages or stillbirths or children that died young.
Either way, Sviatoslav was born in or around 942, and he actually survived to adulthood, grew up.
Became king and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
If we're going that she was born in 890... she would have been 52 and 942. So, I don't know. I mean, it's not completely unheard of, but I don't know. I think, anyway, like I said, I got very hung up
we can tell.
On her date of birth.
Anyway, there's really not that much exciting that happens.
Yeah, there's like a big gap of she got married and then really nothing happens for a while.
So we're going to go over a brief history of the ancient Rus area.
Yeah, Rus is the name of the people that are from like
Russia.
The colonies that now make up Russia. Kiev is, you know, in the Ukraine. So Kiev's a really fucking old city. But at the time, it was like basically the capital of the Rus people. This time in history is called Kievan Rus because the main seat of the rulers of Rus were in Kiev. Yeah. So it's a bunch of like tribal people.
It reminds me of like the city state kind of European, it but reminds less me
of,
evolved.
It reminds me of Boudicca. Like all of the people in Britain at that time.
This is very reminiscent.
We're a bunch of tribes, and then Rome, the Roman people would go along central. And take taxes and stuff like that.
So if you haven't heard our Boudicca episode, go back and listen.
Go back and listen to that. So that's kind of what it was. There was these tribal people, but they all had to pay taxes or tribute to the leader, who was Igor. But look, I put in a map in the notes. Look at this map. Kievan Rus, I mean, that's so much more than just Kiev, just the Ukraine. It was
a huge
chunk of land at this time. So it was a very wealthy empire Igor and Olga were over.
And at that time, the entire religion in that area was paganism,
mm-hmm.
which, I mean, was very common.
I did read something really interesting about, at one point, they had made, like, a peace treaty. Igor had signed a peace treaty with the Greeks, and, you know, the Greeks were already Christian, and he was still pagan. And I thought it was interesting. And then the Greeks swore on their treaty on Bibles, and the Rus people swore on their treaty on their swords.
Oh.
Because, you know, that was, like, their religion
spiritual
was more about,
thing.
Like, okay, well, the God of War is telling us to...
Oh.
Yeah. I thought that was really interesting.
So Katie was talking about how they were paying tribute and how that's kind of, like, equates to taxes. It's not quite money.
It wasn't always money, because maybe it was. Maybe he'd come back around and be like, hey, I need tribute, I need money, but maybe he would come about and be like, hey, I need tribute, I need cattle. Or yeah. I need men for the army.
I always need men for my army.
Or I need
horses.
Whatever.
Grain. Food. Yeah, it wasn't money as how we would associate taxes nowadays. It was more just goods, products.
Yeah.
Things that you had lying around. But in 945, he rocks up to these people called the Drevlians.
And the Drevlians and Kiev have a complicated past.
A very complicated.
The Drevlians had refused to pay tribute to Kiev and kind of had like an opt-out option for a while. But then when Igor came into power, he was like, nah, bitch, there's no opting out. You guys.
No, ma'am.
You guys gotta pay tribute.
And Igor decided, oh, I'm just gonna collect taxes from them twice a month.
Yeah, he came by, and they were like, fine, here's your fucking tribute. And then he came by, like,
A couple weeks later.
Yeah, and I was like, I need tribute from you guys again.
I'm like, no, bitch, we just need our grain to eat.
And they were like, we're happy to pay you what you're due, but, dude, we gotta take care of ourselves, too, you know?
So guess what? Well, they revolted.
Y'all, they didn't just have him kilt. They made, like, an art of having him
kilt. There's only this one remaining chronicle that really gives you the story of what happened.
And it was, like, the only contemporary source for, like, all of these stories was written, like, 200 years later.
So, either way, it's a really cool story. He was killed in this...
I feel like cool is kind of subjective.
Brutal.
Yeah, it's cool, like, if you're into death metal. It's a very death metal story. How about that?
So what they did is they got a birch tree, which if you know birch
trees... Two birch trees.
Yeah, well, they got one birch tree. They're really skinny. They tied it to one of his ankles.
They pulled down one of the branches
and then they took another birch tree and pulled down it and tied it to his other ankle. And then they cut the ropes... And it ripped him in half.
Yeah, they just, like, let him fly, and he, like, tore in half. I'm sorry, what the fuck?
Brutal.
Like, oh my god, who even thinks about that kind of... Do you think that that was, like, a method that they used on the reg to execute people? Or do you think they were just like, fuck this guy, what's the most brutal thing?
I mean, we're talking 9th century, 10th century, we're talking, like, long-ass time ago.
I think they wanted something... Let's save this for somebody who does something really
Some of these
up.
Ancient torture techniques and, execution techniques are just bizarre. Like, who the fuck comes up with this shit?
The Drevlians.
So word ends up getting back to Olga that her hubby might be dead.
It's definitely dead, torn in many pieces. We don't know how she reacted, because she didn't have a diary or anything.
Dear diary.
I'm sure she wasn't happy, you know? I mean, she seems like a very calculating person. I don't think anything that Olga has ever done in her life, she has not sat down and really thought about.
So her husband died, obviously her oldest son, Sviatoslav.
Her only son.
Yes, Sviatoslav.
Can we give him a nickname? I can't with that. Can we call him...
Slav.
I was going to say Sid.
Where the fuck did you come up with that?
It starts with an S.
Oh, that's...
So Sid is only 3 years old, you know?
And she was made regent because obviously he can't rule a fucking...
Yeah.
He couldn't rule that.
And she must have been very, very respected, because if she wasn't, she would have never been made regent. That wasn't commonplace for a woman to be, is what I'm trying to get at.
And the Drevlians didn't really know who they were messing with.
Oh, no. So their leader, Prince Maul, was like, hey, she's going to need protection, and I want to, like, yeah.
She don't need protection.
And I want to consolidate the power. He wants to, you know, be the king now.
So he proposes, and that's not uncommon for them to be like, oh, she's a beautiful little delicate flower. She can't take care of herself. So
and
she
also
needs
wants the power of Kiev.
He wants to be able to take her land.
Yeah, so romantic.
I know, right? And he ends up sending off 20 guys, like, be like, hey, bitch.
And they're like, look. Our king is super hot, and he's capable, and he's young. What else are you going to do? You're a poor old sad woman. You need to marry Maul.
And she's like, OMG, you guys are so right.
She's like, you're so smart. Thank you. I was such a damsel in distress.
You won fair and square. We're conquered now. Of course I'll marry you.
Yeah,
Mr.
she was
Prince
like,
Maul.
Thank you for your generosity. Basically, she's rolling out the red carpet for them. She is kissing their asses. And they are like... Damn right. Because I think they strolled in expecting at least a little pushback from her.
Yeah.
So whenever she was just like throwing herself at their feet, being like, oh my God, thank you so much for taking pity on me. They were like, this bitch knows her place.
And so she ends up sending this messenger back to Prince Maul and is like, hey, you should send the 20 of your best men to come and kind of woo her people.
There's two different sources. So they send the gist of it was they send a messenger back being like, send me send me somebody to escort me back to wherever the Drevlians are from. I know Drevlian means people of the forest, but I don't remember what forest they dwelled.
Like Children of the Forest.
Yes.
From Game of Thrones.
Yes, it was.
There's a lot of Game of Thrones references.
There's a lot of Game of Thrones. But anyway, send somebody back to Maul and be like, I need 20 of your dudes to come back and escort me. I don't know if it's different sources or like different translations. Some say send 20 of your most noble men. So send me all your dukes and earls to escort me back. And some say 20 of your strongest fighters. So either way, it was 20 fucking important people.
Yes.
So anyway, these guys that were already there, she's like, send your messenger. And then you guys go back to your boats. And we're going to prepare an amazing feast for you.
I'm going to make you dinner, child.
And they were like, yeah, this bitch knows how to treat her betters. Cool. And so they go back to their boats and they chill for a bit.
So the next day, the Kievan Rus people show up to the Drevlian boats and we're like, hey, it's time to go to the feast. We made you this big ass bomb dinner, so it's time to eat
bomb dinner.
But they were like,
bon appetit.
They were like, hold up, our queen wants us to carry you in your boats.
And they're like, fuck yeah, carry us in our boats. Yeah, this queen knows how to treat her people.
And they carry them back to the palace where there was this large ditch dug around where it was.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kievan folks just decide to dump the boats into the trench.
And the Drevlians are like, excuse me, you accidentally dumped me in this big fucking hole. Excuse me.
And they're like, oh.
Excuse me.
Sorry, let me bury you.
Olga walks up to the trench and she goes, do you find this honor to your taste?
AKA, eat it, bitch.
Eat it, bitch! And then she was like, bury them. Buried the whole of them and their fucking boats alive.
Fuck.
Fuck.
This is like some powerful Drevlians, and she was like, ah, guess what? You killed my fucking husband.
That is some Cersei shit.
Yeah,
Some Cersei shit right there. If you don't watch Game of Thrones, what are you doing with your life?
So the regal Drevlians that she sent a messenger for are on their way, because we're talking, you know, noblemen.
Or like the most powerful
soldiers.
Fighters. But they're important fucking guys. I guess word travels just really fucking slow because they have, I don't know, it doesn't make any sense to me why they wouldn't be like, well, why don't you just have these other guys that are already there?
They're already there.
Back,
what the fuck is going
on? Whatever.
So
they're like, yeah, we're going to go get your new queen for you, Maul. BRB. They arrive and Olga meets them.
And she's, oh my god, you guys must be so exhausted. How about you, like, go freshen up in my fancy new bathhouse? Which sounds like a really bad gay joke.
Well, back then, having a bathhouse, I mean, this is like a time when people bathed like once a year or some shit. So having a bathhouse was a sign of status.
Yes.
Fucking fancy. If you have a bathhouse, it's like just the top. Bougie. It's super bougie.
Super fucking bougie.
It's turning the bougie up to 11. So they get to the bathhouse and they're like, this bitch knows how to treat some people. And then they get in and she tells her people, lock the door, set the shit on fire.
Dracarys.
Dra-fucking-carys. Again, if you don't watch Game of Thrones, what are you doing with your life? But she sets them on fire.
Yeah, she escorted them in with some pretty women to this bathhouse, locked them in the doors, and burned the whole fucking thing down.
This bathhouse on fire.
Oh my god, yes!
Oh, no, but it really is. It really is.
Bathhouse on fire.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's going to be stuck in my head all day.
We need to call Alicia Keys and be like, hey, we've got a really great
maybe
rewrite
we should
for
do
you.
A remix.
Yes.
And anyway, Olga heads to the Drevlian territory.
She's like, they're expecting me. And so
Lego. And she shows up, you know, in traditional mourning clothes because her husband's dead and she's showing up to possibly meet this guy.
And I mean, that's where her husband was killed. So it wouldn't be completely out of the realm of, like, pagan tradition that's being like, I need to have a funeral for my husband before I can marry.
Yeah.
The new guy.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
But what was really funny to me is that all of a sudden she shows up to these Drevlians and they're like, wait, where's all those dudes that we
Oh, no, they
you?
Weren't. That's what, yeah. That's what's so funny is no one's like, hey, where's the other guys? Like, no, there's no
She's like, oh, don't pay attention to that.
She's like, don't worry, they're coming. They stopped at Wendy's.
So like, okay, you need to meet Prince Maul ASAP. Mm-hmm. Right now.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, but like I said, we've got to have a proper funeral and funeral feast for my husband.
Oh my God, that makes sense.
But in the pagan religion, the funeral feast were... I feel like it's kind of almost more like a wedding reception with my family.
A dead person?
Like in my family, how wedding receptions go, which means everybody gets really drunk and eats a lot.
Yeah.
It's more of like a celebration of life. So they're all going to get super drunk, eat lots of turkey legs or whatever they ate back then.
Shit got rowdy.
Yeah. So everybody got really rowdy and none of the Drevlians noticed that none of the Kievians were actually drinking. Maybe they were, like, just drinking juice and pretending, like, oh, I'm so drunk.
I'm so wasted.
Olga stayed completely sober. She had her whole army escort her there. So she had a lot of her own peeps there.
Yes, but she also did get all the Drevlians drunk. And then once they were nice and socially lubricated,
she slaughtered the shit out of them. You did. You're getting killed. Everybody's getting killed.
Boot. 5,000 Drevlians.
I feel like that's an over.
It's an overstatement, but still.
I think that's overshooting how many people actually were killed.
But still fucking brutal.
It was a lot of fucking
and
people.
And how smart of you to be like, oh, I'm just going to be like, oh, my dead husband, let's have a feast. And they're like, oh, let's have a feast. And they get all drunk. This is red wedding shit.
This is red wedding shit. Yeah. I don't think this is what the red wedding
was based off of, no.
No, I think that was like something in Scottish history
or something.
Yes, but
it's very similar.
But I do think that George R.R. Martin probably read this story and probably... I think George R.R. Martin took some Olga...
And made it into Dany. I think this is Daenerys.
I think it's a mix of Dany and Cersei.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
So the remaining Drevlians are like, they know their beat. And they're just like...
Because half of their friends are dead.
And they're just like, oh my God, what can we give you to make you go
Can we give away? You money now?
I will give you all... Take my house, just go away.
I'll give you all the tributes.
I will give you all the tributes. And she tells them, all I want from you are your birds. She's like, give me a pigeon and a sparrow. From each house. Which also, though, do you remember that... So... When we lived in the town that we went to college in, I hate that we called her this, but we called her Crazy Mary, that lady that lived on the streets, mm-hmm. which now, in hindsight, I'm like, she probably had mental disorders or
and
something.
She
so that was
addicted
not,
to drugs, too.
But it just seems like the kind of request she would have made, like, give me your birds, you know, like, like, that's what I just kept thinking of.
And it's like, I'm sorry, what? And so she ends up.
And they were all like, yeah, take our birds, cool.
Fucking leave, bitch. She's like, cool, thanks.
They're thinking they locked out, being like, all she wants is birds. Let's just give them. Because back then, apparently, you kept birds, like, in your house. Mm-hmm. Like, you kept sparrows in your house or whatever. I don't know why. I don't.
But anyway, they ended up tying small pieces of sulfur, like, wrapped in cloth to each one of their feetuses.
PETA would have been so angry about
this. So pissed off. And so,
I'm kinda angry
if you
about
don't
it.
Know anything about sulfur, so sulfur is highly unstable. So they tie it to the each ends up, like they tie it to their legs, and the birds fly off. And these birds live in the hay, like
of
it's
your
like,
house,
of their house, like their roofs.
So
are
they
made
go back
hay.
To their nest. So they just fly back to their nest.
They don't have composition shingle like we do now.
Yeah,
they have hay houses. Mm-hmm. And so whenever this sulfur goes to the hay, and like the hot sun is beating, that shit caught on. Fire.
And so as the Drevlians are the ones that didn't get burnt, as they're fleeing their homes, you know, the Kievians are out in the woods, like, slaughtering them or taking them hostage.
Dracarys, bitches.
Dracarys.
And that's how you take revenge, ladies and gentlemen.
And that's how you take revenge.
Okay, applause.
So that last story about the birds and stuff, it's thought that that part is actually legend.
Yeah.
It's not, I think that's out. I'm sorry, I drank it all.
It's all right. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, it's
oh,
not, girl.
Oh, girl.
You
girl.
Lie.
Anyway, so that part is thought to probably be legend, whereas the rest of it's thought to definitely be true.
It's a good story.
But regardless of if it's legend or not, how fucking brutal do you have to be for people to write a story like that about you? And people just be like, oh yeah, I believe it from everything else I've heard about
her. I'm sure there's other stories that we don't know about.
Yeah.
That make her even badder and bougier.
When I was researching, or when, you know, trying to learn about Olga's life, I feel like every podcast I found about her, every story I found about her, this is all they talked about, was her epic revenge. And fair enough, because it's
a good story. It's a very good story.
It's fierce, and it stands out in history. But I was like, okay, but then what? Because she lived for another 20, 30 years. I had to learn about the rest of her life. I really had to dive into, like, religious sites.
You're like a fish out of fucking water.
I know, right? Well,
I'm just poking fun at you.
No, but like, because since she a saint, and I was just like, okay, all of these podcasts that I listen to, all of these articles I've read, they stop after the end of her
revenge. She
kills
a bunch of people.
And I was like, but she went on to become a saint. And it was like, so many of the things that I read, it was like, she killed all these people. Like, they spent 30 minutes on that. And then they're like, and then she was a saint, and then she died. And it was like, wait, what?
So, and she was a saint not only in Catholicism, but in the Eastern.
Yeah.
She transcended both. Yeah.
So the rest of her life. Let's go over, because she went back home after this, and she was regent of Kievan Rus for like 15 years after this, because her son was about four. So three or four, so she was regent for a really long time.
So she really reformed what we call Russia now.
Yeah.
She gets back to Kiev and is like, hey, maybe...
She was like, maybe the system we have in place for collecting tribute right now doesn't work. This is the first time a ruler of what we consider Russia now put in, like, a sweeping reform. She was like, the way that we're collecting tribute right now isn't working. One, it's unstable. Two, kings can get too greedy. I think she, like, acknowledged, my husband got too greedy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so they set up a new system where they would put, like, taxation centers.
So they had, it was like a hub.
Yeah.
An economical hub.
And it really changed the makeup of their society. Some say for the better, some say for the worse. She would set up these hubs, like you said, and then send somebody from Kiev to be basically the tax man of that region. And so then they would integrate, and they would learn about the people that they were living with, instead of just traveling by and collecting taxes. Instead, it came with a system. Oh, but Igor in Hut 3, his daughter's sick, so maybe, you know,
he can't give enough taxes today.
Yeah, yeah. So I feel like that really... I feel like that did a lot to unite it.
It attached the money to the people.
Exactly.
It made it where they were connected.
It made the cultures be forced to integrate.
Which is something that we still do today.
Yeah.
Like, it's very similar to what we would consider,
to having,
like
an ambassador or
exactly,
something.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Marriage proposals.
They keep rolling in. I mean, she's a hot ticket. She's a strong woman.
I mean, all these people, and it made me think of, like, Queen Elizabeth I of England, how she never married because she didn't want to consolidate power with anybody. And I think that's a smart move, and that's what Olga did as well. Just being like, oh, yeah, thanks so much for your marriage proposal. Let me sleep on it. And then just, like, leave him on red. So then her son reaches majority, and Sid takes over in his own right. He was a pagan, so he had several wives.
Plenty of babies.
Lots of children. I think it's interesting that Igor didn't have any other wives. Or if he did, like...
Wasn't
I hadn't thought about that until just now. They must have... Olga and Igor must have been in love, because he didn't take any other wives.
No.
And that was commonplace then, mm-hmm, for pagans to have... Especially pagan kings.
Yeah.
So, Sid, which is what we're calling
Sviatoslav.
Sid, he had several wives and lots of kids, and Olga kind of took over their education.
Very influential in her grandchildren. Her grandchildren were like her babies.
Because Sid was off expanding Rus, which if you've seen a modern map of Russia, he was very successful.
She had a big hand in her grandchildren's education, mm-hmm. and since her son was away, she was still acting as a regent
like
of the area.
Well into his actual ruling.
And then I read that she convinced people to start building cities out of stone instead of wood.
Maybe she had heard something about cities catching on fire easily.
I didn't think about that. She's like, well, this won't burn.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, oh, because of all the fires she started. She was like, let me not do that anymore.
Well, she was busy around making that money, honey.
Making that money.
She was collecting them tributes, killing people, and running shit with her firm pimp hand.
But she found Jesus.
She's a saint, remember?
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, so remember, everybody in Rus is pagan.
So in 950... The Rus is on fire! That is perfect for her.
We should have done that earlier.
That is so perfect for her, burning down that sheet.
That's going to be the tagline for this episode. The Kievan Rus is on fire!
So in 957, Olga travels to Constantinople.
And if you listen to our Empress Theodora episode, you know that's modern-day Istanbul.
Big hubbub
Istanbul,
for
Constantinople,
like it's like
Istanbul,
the East.
Constantinople. I'm sorry.
It's like the Eastern version of Rome.
Yeah, like the Roman Empire, but to the left, or whatever.
To the right.
Oh
to
yeah.
The right.
Well, stage left.
Oh my god.
Anyway. Don't ever take directions from me, please.
No. She'll get you lost.
I'll get you super lost. Anyway. Constantinople was the Rome of the East, and at this time, the two Christianities hadn't split. Like, you know, modern day, there's Eastern Christianity, which they call Orthodox,
yeah,
and there's Roman Catholicism. At the time, they had not yet made the split into two separate factions.
So, okay, my question is, she's a pagan. Why the fuck did she go?
So, one theory is that she wanted to make allies, and if you look at the political makeup of the time, the big powers were Constantinople and the Holy Roman Empire, which is like, you know, modern day Germany, and Rome, and they're all Christian religions. So she's looking, being like, we need to expand, we need to have allies that are going to help us. Because until just like maybe 100 years before Olga was born, Rus was conquered by, I don't know, I guess it's modern day China? Mongolia. What is
Mongolia,
that?
Mongolia. Yeah.
So she's like, all these other powerful people to the west, I should make friends with them. So that's one theory. Another theory, go ahead.
It was just like, the other theory is that it's just surely spiritual.
Well, I mean, maybe she's feeling a little guilty about burning all those people.
So, yeah.
And she's like, well, this religion, I can just get dunked in some water and be forgiven for that. You know? Have that washed away.
And obviously, like, this is where the church comes in and kind of paints her into that corner.
Yeah.
Is because they want her trek to Constantinople to be like this journey.
Like a pilgrimage.
Like Jesus did.
Yeah.
Like a long journey that she wanted to be, you know.
Yeah.
Right with God. And could some missionary have showed up in her camp one day and been like, hey,
Possibly, convert.
Maybe so. And maybe she was like, yeah, this is a great way to pretend like I didn't kill 5,000
people.
Yeah.
Whatever the reason, Constantine VII, who is the ruler of Constantinople, invites her down. She wants to show that she's super powerful.
She rolls up with a huge-ass army.
And he wants to impress her. So they've got all their art out. They've got all their red carpets out. They've got, because, I mean, they were known for, like, beautiful art and everything.
Majestic.
So they make themselves as majestic as they possibly can. And she rolls in, and
Constantinople was like, oh my god, she's awesome.
So the story is that he was so enamored with her that he proposed to her, but I don't...
She would have been 60 at this time.
And also, he already had a wife. I think he still had a living wife at this time. I didn't look into that too much, but...
Either way, it was either flattery or fake news. Maybe she was 60 years old and banging.
I mean, it's possible.
It is possible that she was just sexy as fuck.
Maybe his wife had passed away already. I'm not sure. But she was like, look, how about I get baptized and you be my godfather? And he was like, yes, honey. Yeah. Like, he was like, that is the best idea I've ever heard in my fucking life.
And every time I'm like, Godfather.
Oh, I didn't know Godfather. What that was. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I was singing The Godfather. Yeah, it's gonna make you an offer you can't refuse.
I'm gonna make you an offer you can't refuse. I get baptized and you be my godfather. And the whole Eastern Christianity movement were like, we got Olga! Fuck yeah! Pew, pew, pew! Yeah, exactly. It was a big fucking deal for, like, a regent of a non-Christian country to come here and convert. It was...
big deal. She was baptized as Helen, which is funny because it's Helga, Helen.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. I did do a little bit of a dive into St. Helena. She was married to a Roman emperor named Constantine.
Yeah, but not the Constantine that we're talking about.
Like, this was like in the year 200.
Yeah, and he was made a saint in his own right.
And, I think it was her son that was made a saint.
Yeah, her son was made a saint.
She was married to Constantine, and then they had a son together, and she was like, came from very, very humble beginnings. Like, she was this daughter of an innkeeper. And then when her son became emperor, who was also Constantine, which is the one that is like a saint, she adopted Christianity. And he adopted it too, because he like adored his mother so much. Like I said, I think everything Olga ever did in her life was calculated. And I think that was something that she had already, she's like,
okay. Thought of.
She's like, the people of Constantinople are gonna eat it up if I pick the mother of Constantine to be my saint, to be my baptized name. And also her story, because she basically Helena brought Christianity to Rome, basically.
Did you say Helga again?
Helena is what I said.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, wait.
I'm sorry. All these names.
So basically Olga knew... her audience.
She knew her audience, yeah.
She lived for the applause, applause, she applause.
She lived for the applause, applause, lived for the applause, applause. Definitely. 100% she lived for the applause.
So after her baptism, the priest said to her, blessed are you among Russian women, for you have forsaken the darkness and have loved the light.
And then she bowed and took sacrament.
Kind of cool.
I think that's kind of cool.
Legit.
So, Olga chilled in the South for a while, and she was treated like a fucking celebrity. She went to all these banquets, and she was given all these jewels. And again, like, I can't get past trying to describe to you how beautiful their art and jewelry and shit were, but, like...
I just have to say it again. She was dripping in jewels a la
guanza. Dripping in jewels a la guanza.
A la guanza.
With a W. A la guanza.
There you go.
So, no wonder she loved Christianity. She was like, these people love me.
After a few months, she went back to Kiev, and she tried to spread Christianity, but remember, this is, like, pagan country, and her son...
wasn't into it.
No, he wasn't as committed to being a pagan.
He wasn't into it.
He was committed to being a pagan, not Christian.
And her son had a bunch of wives and a bunch of children and everything. And he wasn't ready to give that up. And I do think that he believed... I mean, he was out there conquering, taking over huge parts of land. And remember, the pagans, like, swore on their swords, prayed on their swords.
So her son was totally kind of a war dick.
Yeah, her son was a bit of a war dick. And I believe that he did think that praying to the god of war or whatever helped him overtake all these people.
So while he's out doing all these military campaigns and shit, Olga was still playing a big role in raising her grandkids. And bad news bears... Kiev was attacked.
By the Turkish people. Olga had to gather her grandchildren and the armies and try to defend themselves. And Sid eventually found out what was happening and sent an army, and it scared off the Turkic people. And when Cid came back, I mean, can you imagine how much your mom would yell at you being like, you should have been here! She tore him a new one, being like, no, you need to send other people out to conquer. You need to be here when
because
shit
I'm about
the
to
fan.
Die.
Yeah. So a year later, sadly, Olga died. July 11th, 969.
In Kiev. So she lived a really fucking long life.
I think she is younger than people. Because if she was born in 890 to die in 969, she would have been, what, 79?
That's old for them. Today. That's old.
Her son had her buried according to Christian customs, which is kind of a big deal because, I mean, he was king. He could have been like, no, I'm a pagan, so I'm going to do a pagan burial.
And in terms of being named a saint, that is something that's a big deal because if you burn, like, pagans believe in burning their bodies and spreading the ashes. Christians believe in putting
burials,
your body
yeah.
down in the earth. So, obviously, that played a part in her being named a saint because it wasn't until 1547 that the Orthodox Church, like the Eastern Church, like really made her a saint and said she's equal to the apostles.
Yeah.
Which is a title only five
equal
women.
Equal to the apostles.
Saying that she's one of the apostles.
As well be Saint Peter or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's huge.
One of the 12 apostles. That's a big fucking deal.
I know. It really is. And so.
And I know you're thinking, like, she just killed a fucking bunch of people and she's now made a saint. What the fuck?
Yeah, but the Russian people are Christians now, aren't they?
And she won. And her, the way that happened
her
was
grandson.
Her, yeah, exactly. He ended up fulfilling her legacy and was able to be like, and that's why I think that her raising the grandson, and that's where
had like such a,
in my perspective, I genuinely believe that she may have been a little bit religious with it because why would she teach her grandson about Christianity?
I know. Yeah.
If she didn't commit to it.
So that's Olga of Kiev. She was a fierce bitch. She got shit done. Dracarys, Nathan.
Dracarys.